here being able to speak to you. We are in the midst of a series that we are discussing and talking about the core values of our church. And so the last couple of weeks, we talked about love. Love is a big core value. It's what we stand on here at the River Church. I mean, we're talking the things that kind of help make us run. We're not going to go into things like prayer and the Word and Jesus, and we're not going to go into there because those are foundational values that we carry and hold on to and beliefs. But we're talking about our core values that really enable us to motivate us to move forward, all right? And so Jill and Nick had some great messages on love the last couple of weeks. And if you were not here last Sunday and you don't know, I want to just share with you briefly here that Jill made an announcement this last Sunday that she is, because of health, she is stepping down from ministry here at the church. She is going to be taking some time to focus on her health, her family, and her marriage. And this is a really important thing. It's a big thing. And so, you know, the thing with, we discovered that she has chronic fatigue syndrome, and that just gets inflamed with stress. How many of you know that in ministry, it can be very stressful sometimes? Yes, just a bit. And so because of that, it's just, she really felt like this is time for her to step down, and I'm in full support of that. I think it's a good thing, and so we're navigating that in this new season. But where we go from here, we're going to continue with our journey through our values. And so we talked about love last week. We're going to talk about generosity today and next week, and then community, teamwork, and integrity. These are our core values here at TRC. And so this morning, I want to hit on this thing of generosity. And so as I'm talking about generosity, some of you might start to think, oh, great, here we go on a giving message again. Ugh. Now, I want to just share with you really quick that, yeah, there's some elements of that in this message, okay? But I want us to understand something about generosity, that generosity is first modeled by God. And I want us to look today at the generosity of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want us to look at how much God has poured out into our lives and how we then can reflect that same generosity to where we live, work, and play. All right? And I look at it this way. If we are to be Christ followers, if we're to be Christ-like, then we need to model our lives after Jesus. And Jesus only did what the Father asked of him to do. All right? And so Jesus constantly was modeling an idea, a lifestyle of generosity, to the point to where he was so generous he gave his own life. And we're going to talk about that today a little bit more in depth. And so if Jesus is modeling his life and only doing what the Father says, and the Father, as we're going to look at, is so generous, then when you logically go down the line here, it also means for us then to walk out a lifestyle of generosity. You following me? Okay, it's very quiet in here. I hear a little couple amens, but most of you are going, I'm kind of getting itchy. That's okay. So today, let's take a look at just four areas that God is generous. Okay? God, in this first one, God is generous this way. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. I want to look at Ephesians 1:3, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is Paul saying this, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It is in Christ that we have been given all of these blessings, all right? What does that mean, in Christ? It's because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross that we have been blessed, bestowed, given all of these amazing things by God the Father. What are these amazing things? Well, in Ephesians, it talks about a bunch of this stuff, that we are a chosen, we are a called people. We've been blessed by the spiritual blessing of this because of us being in Christ. We have been adopted into the family of God. All right? We've also been redeemed. There's redemption that has been poured into us, this generosity of being redeemed in this. Okay? We have been given new life. Our old life is gone, and we have been given this freedom of this new calling, this new life. We have been given forgiveness. Whoo! How many of us can use forgiveness in our lives? Yeah. We've all blown it, right? We've all messed up. We've all chosen in our own way to say, God, I'm going to do this. I got this. I'm going to do this thing. And because we've done that, we've fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, God still was so generous, he pours out his forgiveness all over to us. He gives us knowledge. He pours into us an understanding and a knowledge. And this knowledge that we're talking about is an intimate knowledge of knowing him, of not just reading a word and having this distance between God and us, but this intimate knowledge in relationship. We also have an inheritance. We are part of God's family. And as we are a part of the King of Kings, we are in his family. We are adopted into that family. We have an inheritance. We have the seal of the Spirit. Other areas of the Bible talks about joy and peace, a blessing upon blessing of love and intimacy and communion with God. You see, back in Jesus' time, the Israelites were practicing this ritualistic style of worship where they had God residing in the temple in the Holy of Holies, and not everybody could access the Lord. And yet, because of Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, now all of a sudden the curtain was split. The Holy of Holies was total access, and now God himself, Jesus, resides in us. We are the temple. So we have direct access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Woo! This is the generosity that we're talking about today, that the Lord is pouring in all of us. Second thing, God is generous. God has lavished his grace upon us. This is another area that is talked about in Ephesians, where it says in verse 7 and 8 of chapter 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. God has lavished his grace upon us. He has poured it out. Now, what is grace? Grace is a gift given to you that you do not deserve. Grace is poured out over and over and over upon each and every one of our lives. This gift that we do not deserve. Let me paint this picture for you. When Jill might have shared a few of these stories with you about life growing up in the Palmer household, and there is this one, in fact, where, you know, I think every parent struggles with their kids, getting them ready to go to church on a Sunday morning, right? Well, in our home growing up, we would get our kids dressed the night before because it made things so much easier. Young moms and dads, try it. I'm telling you, it's okay if they're a little wrinkly in the morning. It works itself out throughout the day. It's great. But in this particular morning, my daughter was not in the best of moods. And she woke up and nothing was working. The clothes that she had worn to bed were not quite feeling the right way the next day. And so Jill's putting the shoes on. The shoes weren't feeling right. And they were just messed up. The food, just the cereal wasn't the right kind of cereal for the day. And she's trying to get her into the car seat. And the car seat just didn't feel right. And then we're trying to listen to Adventures in Odyssey. And the Adventures in Odyssey was the wrong one that she didn't want to hear. And for 30 minutes in the car, it is just this, and Jill's just going, be quiet. And then we drive in the parking lot. Silence in the car. Jill opens the door to let our daughter out, to unlatch her, and there is this sweet cherub smiling. Mother, I love you. Thank you for bringing us to church today. You know, might I have from you a small cup of hot chocolate? All right? You deserve nothing. And yet, my loving wife, with tears of anguish and anger in her eyes, looking at this little girl, goes, "Okay, we'll get you a cup of hot chocolate." That is grace. That is the generous grace of our Father, who, in spite of everything that we have done, all of the rage, all of the gestures, all of the things that we have called out in cursing God, or just in the things and the actions that we have done, regardless of those things, we have a Father who has said, "I love you." And in his generosity, he is saying, "Here's some hot chocolate," which is the third thing that God is generous about. God richly provides all things for us to enjoy. In 1 Timothy 6:17, Paul says, "Instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be conceited and not to put their hope in the uncertainty of wealth, but in God, who richly provides all things for us to enjoy." All things. All things. I want us to consider for a moment that everything that you possess, every dime, penny, whatever you have earned in your life, everything that you have worked for actually comes from the Lord. That it is not yours, but that he has provided it for you to enjoy. His generosity has been poured out in you and in your life, and now you can enjoy all things. The things that you have are not your own. Now, you're probably going, "Wait a minute, man. I worked hard for this, Pastor Mark. I earned this shirt. The shirt on my back, I worked hard for that. I paid for that." Well, let me just kind of walk you through a little process with me, okay? What's the shirt's material made out of? Cotton. Okay, so cotton. Maybe some of you are going, "Nah, man, it's polyester, baby. I'm with you on this." Okay, let me follow the cotton, and then we'll go into the polyester thing in just a second, okay? So where does cotton come from? Cotton comes from the ground. Cotton comes from a plant that is grown from a seed. That seed grows, and then there's this filament that the cotton is produced. From the earth, produced from a seed. Where does that seed come from? From God. God created the seed. So the seed grows the cotton. The cotton is then picked, put through a process where it's been separated. Ah, but there's machines, Mark, that weren't made by God. What were the machines made out of? Metal. Where does the metal come from? The metal comes from a mine that was then pulled out. The metal was then smelted into these forms, which now shaped into the machine. The machines were made by man. Man was made by God. God created man in his image. Therefore, man has the creation from the Lord put in them so that they were able to create these amazing things. God created the machines. You tracking with me right now? All right. Well, what about polyester, man? That's not real. Polyester is made out of plastic. Plastics are made from oils. Oils have been mined from the earth. The mines that have pulled out these things, these pumps have pulled out this oil. This oil has been created by decomposed plants and animals that were in the ground, so pressurized that now they have been formed oil. The oil is from these creations, these things that God created. The oil has come out of the earth. Man just figured out ways to produce this stuff, to pull this stuff apart, to separate it, to create these things, these polyester, which just now make your shirt off your back. God creates all things. God provides all things. All things come from God. Therefore, everything that you have, own, possess is the Lord's. It is not yours. You tracking? Okay. With that, did you see Stone's precious gift today to all of us? When I gave him those cookies, I said, "These are my cookies. Would you share them?" Did he go, "Thanks, Pastor Mark, I'm just going to keep these all to myself"? No. He's like, "They're not mine. So here you go. Mark, you said you wanted me to hand them out? Okay, I'll hand them out." And so he began to hand them out. How many kids did those cookies bless today? and bless Sarah twice. It's awesome. And I'm not saying that I'm God, but I want you to understand this principle of generosity that God is pouring out so much to each and every one of us. And it's not just a monetary type of a thing. It is time, it is talents, and it is treasures. It is all things that God has blessed you with, poured out into your life. And I'm just telling you that God, in his generosity, has given us so much. God richly provides all things for us to enjoy. Are you tracking with me this morning? And to kind of bring a little bit of culmination into this, finally, it's in this a fourth way that God is generous is our Father graciously gives us all things. And this is talking about from Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son. Hold on, let me read that again. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That's right. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life. This is the generosity of the God that we serve. This is the generosity of the King of Kings who has modeled this lifestyle with his own life, with his own son, and his son so willingly and generously gave up his own life for you and for me so that we could have this reconciled relationship with the Father. You know, the thing is, we talk about heaven, and someday when we are all said and done and gone and all that stuff, we will go there. But the thing is that it's not about heaven. That's not the end result. That's not the reason that we go there. We go to be in the presence, to be with the Father, to be reunited in this relationship with God the Father. And his generosity poured out on us right now is a small snippet of what we will encounter when we are back reunited with him. Are you hearing this morning? How generous our God is. I want us to get that today, because I want to encourage us that we need to reflect that generosity to the world. So how do we reflect his generosity? Well, we have been given time, talents, and treasures. We have been given this great opportunity to, with our lives, with our time, we can pour out generously to the community, to our church. We can be generous. We can be generous with our talents, the things that we have been given by God and created to do, from leadership to music, to art, to design, to decoration, to hosting, to loving, to baking, to whatever it is that God has blessed you with, created in you to do, to being a person with a smiling face. God has given us all gifts that we are to generously give out and pour out to the world. And here's the cool thing. Jesus himself says this. Hear this morning, all right? Give, and you will receive. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, in Scripture, Jesus is talking about not judging other people and forgiving other people. And so in this, it's not even talking about finances, okay? It's talking about forgiveness. It's talking about not judging others. It's talking about loving other people generously. But I think that the principle goes along. As you give, you will receive. As you pour out, it will be poured back into you. And we're going to get into that in some other scripture here in just a moment. And I want to just ask you this question. By you not being generous, who will that hurt? By you not being generous, who will that hurt? If you're holding back your generosity, do you think that'll hurt other people? No, God will provide for them. Through some other means, some other way, God will provide. Because God is good in that way. He will continue to be generous in people's lives. But if you are disobedient in your generosity, you are the one that's hurting yourself. You are being, if you are being stingy, how will it not be that the Lord will not be stingy with you? God wants to pour out. He wants to fill. He wants to be generous. And he wants to do it over and over and over, pressed down, shaken, till the cup is running over, falling into your lap, more and more and more. God wants to do this. It's a principle that he's talked about over and over in Scripture. He shares about this in the gifts of the parable of the talents, the story of the talents, when Jesus is talking about three guys and the master. The master gives the first guy five talents. He gives the second guy two, and he gives the third guy one. The first two guys, they go, they use their talents wisely, and they produce five more talents. And the first guy does, the second guy produces two more talents. And I want you to hear what it is that the Lord, or what in the parable, what is said here, okay? In verse 21, it's not going to be up on the screen, so this is a little bit separate, but in verse 21 of chapter 25 of Matthew, it says this in the parable. The guy who got the five more talents, this is what the master said to him. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. In verse 23, where he's talking to the one who got two more talents after the two talents that he was given, this is what the master says. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Is there any difference? No. The thing is that Jesus is sharing with us about this very fact, that it's not about how much you get. It's about how much you can handle. Now, the last guy, he decided not to do that. He was afraid of the master, and so he buried the talent. He didn't use his talent. He put it away because he was afraid. It might be that the talent was, he's like, well, I'm not good enough. What if people don't like it? I don't really have time. It's just overwhelming to me to do that. Whatever it is, whatever the excuse is, understand that the master doesn't agree with what's happening with this last guy. So what does he do? He takes the talent from the last guy and he gives it to the first guy. He says, this guy's going to do something with it. You see? The generosity is transferred. God's going to continue to give. God's going to continue to move. He wants to use you. He wants to pour out to you. How are you responding and how are you reflecting this? You know, God has given so much to our community and so much to all of us individually. And I want to just say that in all of this, I know that we have many toys that we enjoy in life. Right? And that's okay. That's good. God provides all things for us to enjoy. Okay? So, we enjoy this stuff, but I want to just ask you something. In all of these things that we enjoy, how often do we have to buy a new one? All the time. Because eventually those things that we enjoy rust, get old, break down. There is something else that has an eternal value. What has eternal value? Can you just like tap on your chest? I have eternal value. I have eternal value. How are we investing in those things, in those people that have eternal value? How are we being generous to one another? How are we one anothering? Not just the community, but this church And I'm saying, people is the church. How are we one anothering? And how are we being generous today? If our God is pouring out into our lives and he is doing so much in us and he is blessing us with so much, how are we then in turn reflecting that love and that generosity to the community? 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. This is the key verses for our core value of generosity. And it says this, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever, for God is the one who provides seeds for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take our gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. When we are generous, people will see God's generosity through you. Woo-hoo! Paul's writing in this moment because he's sharing with the Corinthians about a gift that's being anticipated to be given to the church in Jerusalem. And so Paul's saying, hey, guys, I'm so excited about what you're giving. Continue to give it with excitement and joy. Don't feel like you're being pressured into this. And I want you to hear this today. God provides. God provides. But he is calling us to be his vessels of provision. Okay? So, in all of this, I want to invite the worship team to come back up. And I want to just share four things quickly of how all of this generosity can benefit you. Because I want to end on a good note. You know, no pressure here. But I want to just share with you that God is so amazing in how he has created us and how he has designed the human body. That there are actually human physical benefits by you being generous in your life. When you're stingy, dude, you get all messed up. But when you are generous, the body does amazing things. Hear this morning. The first thing, generosity is good for your brain. When you give, your brain produces chemicals that makes you feel good. You will hand that stuff over. You'll be like, hey, I'm going to just give you something here. Take it, and you know, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I feel pretty good about that. I like it. It's good to be generous. Not only does it make you feel good, but generosity, the second thing, is that generosity makes you and those around you happier. You ever been around somebody that's generous? What's the thing? You know, when you're around somebody that's generous, that person just makes you feel better. There are chemicals that are produced in your brain that actually are contagious. When you are being generous, that sense of good feeling and well-being, that happiness, gets transported to other people. And it's not like the dopamine rush that you get when you get the check mark or the like button on Facebook. It's not like that, where you get this like, whoo, I feel good. It's a long-lasting happiness that you feel when you give, and when you're around those people that give, they inspire you to give. There is a freedom that they walk in that you're like, man, what is that? And they're just like, man, I just love to give. And you're going, me too. I want to give too. And as we do that, there's a joy that fills our hearts. Third thing, generosity can help you live longer. Generosity can help you live longer. Research shows that generosity lowers your stress level. And as we know, stress, man, that causes all sorts of nasty things in us, right? It brings about chronic diseases and all of this stuff. But people, listen to this, people who volunteer around 4 hours per week are 40% less likely to develop high blood pressure than those who don't volunteer. Church is only two, so you got two more hours to do something with. 40%. 40% less likely to develop high blood pressure just by 4 hours a week giving of your time. Generosity counters depression. It fights against depression. When we give, depression is diminished. In studies looking at people in Alcoholics Anonymous, in AA, it doubles their chances of success when they help others. When somebody is in AA and they are a sponsor to somebody else, they have greater success in staying clean. All right? And not only that, when we focus on others, we learn more about ourselves. The same idea is being used to help people suffering from depression and other disorders. In fact, there are studies finding that people with multiple sclerosis, MS, if they are helping other people walk through and understand their MS, and they're helping, do you know that they actually are recovering greater because they're helping other people? The brain is healing itself when you are serving others, when you are being generous. The chemicals that are produced are healing. Generosity to the body is healing. We've talked about the hurt and the struggle in our world and the division in our world. MS is lesions in the brain. Multiple sclerosis is dividing the brain. And generosity is healing those lesions, healing those divisions. In our world, if we are to be generous as God is generous with us, there will be a healing of the division in our world. Healing in the division. Now, true, yes, those that believe in the Lord, those that believe in Jesus, it says that we are going to be hated for following after the Lord. But I truly believe that as we love, as we are generous, that will heal the divides in the church. That will heal the divides that have been created. Guys, may we pour out generosity. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, and I'll finish with this, says this. This, by the way, is from the wisest man in the world. Okay? So, the wisest man in the world says this. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. It's from the wisest guy. I don't know, you take it or leave it, but it's great wisdom there. May you today recognize the generosity of your Lord and Savior. May you recognize today that all things come from Him. And may it be that as you recognize that, may it bubble something up within you that so compels you to give, to do something in this community, in this church, wherever it may be. May you reflect the generosity of the Lord. Let's stand together. Lord, thank you for this morning. Help us, Lord, to walk in generosity. That this key value of who we are at TRC, Lord, may it be reflected wherever we go. May it be that generosity enables us to love, resource, and influence Durango. May it be, Lord, that through this generosity, that we are bringing a kingdom of heaven community to where we live, work, and play so that others can know Christ. Pour it out, Lord. Pour it out. You are so good, Lord. And I give you all glory and honor. Thank you for not being sparing with us, but totally generous to the point of your Son. We love you, Lord. And thank you in your name. Amen.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for being a part of TRC Online today. I hope that you were encouraged by the message today. And if there are any things that you want to communicate with us, prayer requests, simple statements that you just want to share, start a conversation and engage with us online, I want to just encourage you to type in that communication box, the comments box below, and just let us know how you feel, what we can pray for you on. And also, if today you're just recognizing this amazing generosity from the Lord of sending his Son to die on a cross for you and for me, and that we can have salvation, this amazing gift of generosity from our Heavenly Father, I want to just invite you to type in the box below. I want to know more. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to give my life to him. I want to start a relationship with Jesus. Whatever that may be today, I want to just invite you to comment below. Once again, y'all, thank you for being a part of TRC Online. Y'all, where'd that come from? Anyway, guys, I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll see you right back here, 10 a.m. next Sunday. God bless.